Amazing selection, reliable prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you.
You're Locked On Sharks, your daily podcast on the San Jose Sharks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Locked On Sharks, your daily source of everything Team San Jose. And boy, they are losing, which is good if you want draft picks, bad if you want them to make the playoffs. This is the home of the Tank Commanders. This is the first division. I always think of German things because I am German. So, like, I don't want to say like the Panzer division because that, like, it's probably bad. I don't know what
negative German connotation with that.
Yeah. I don't know what American tank, the Sherman division. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was Patton,
the Shermans,
was he a tank,
the
man?
The Shermans are dope.
What about the Canadian? What's the Canadian tank division?
They just buy tanks from the Americans.
That's not true. Shit. The Canadians were dope in World War II. Get out of here.
Did you make your own tanks though?
Go to Omaha Beach, your tiny little slice of the beach, and let everybody else take the rest of the coastline. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius.
Smart
back
thinking.
With me as always. Work smarter, not harder, baby. I'm your host, Kyle Demetrius. Back as always are JD and Eric, the Super Troopers and Anchorman to my super bad.
All quality. Like that. That's all good.
They're all quality. Yeah, they're all quality. We're quality dudes, just dudes being guys. Guys being dudes. The Sharks lost to the Ducks tonight. We're recording immediately after the game. And by lost, I mean they got smoked. It wasn't even a competition.
Literally 2 minutes away from back-to-back shutouts. That's insane.
Thank you, Eric Carlson and Timo Meier, for saving the bacon. They previously lost. We didn't record after the last game because of trade deadline, and we're doing a lot of prospect stuff. So they also lost the Ducks. Just a lot of shit.
End podcast. No. Yeah,
anything?
It's bad. I mean,
no, I don't. I just like want the draft to happen. Like, I don't. This is great though.
This is great.
They're losing
the tankathon. This is great for the tankathon.
What JD, give it, hit us with the tankathon stats. Man,
they're,
you need to set up your
baby,
little board. You need to set up your little board, your little soundboard, so we can put like air horns and shit.
Yeah,
when it comes up with the thing. Yeah, truck horns. Like it's a 2005 rap video.
They moved up a spot to 10th.
Right now, they are, so Vancouver, which hasn't played in 7 years because of COVID concerns, and they should not play another game this season, but that's neither here nor there, is ninth. The Kings, which also lost tonight, they are eighth. Columbus and New Jersey, which I think are kind of I think Columbus is really the only other team, the top, like, I don't think they can get in the top six, but I think they can get to seven. But Columbus has also lost three in a row. So
I believe Columbus has a bunch of more games played.
Yeah, they're 15.
Their games played is all out of whack. So they'll probably.
Yeah.
Do you need to look at playoff probabilities here? Is that going to be helpful?
Oh, we can do playoff probabilities and then we'll skip right back into the draft stuff.
Well, I didn't know. Okay, I figured that might help us tell us who is more likely to end up.
Oh, I like it. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Reverse engineering this.
Like, is this data mining? Is this what happens in Silicon Valley?
Yeah. This is how we think about things.
Should we teach a machine to do it?
Should we teach a machine to love first?
So I think unless they really, really just shit the bed the rest of the way, depending on how Vancouver comes back in these last games.
Maybe they can.
They will be hard pressed to finish below Columbus and New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't think they can catch New Jersey.
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, it's like 7 or 8, depending on what happens with Calgary and Vancouver. They're very close. Oh man, that's brutal. And also, maybe the Kings can win a few down the stretch here. That would be huge.
Yeah, that's what we got to hope for.
That would be huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Kings passing the Sharks is would be like elite tanking status.
Elite status right now. Yeah. So and they lost in regulation too. So that's good. If there's any sort of tie, no row. It's amazing.
You call it row or row? Because I say row like a normal human.
I have no idea. Well, you can pronounce it both ways. You can like row your boat
row?
Or like get into
you
a row.
You can row your boat.
No, you can row your boat or you get into a row with someone.
So the Kings, looking at the Kings schedule really quick. So they have two games against Colorado, then they play Anaheim, Minnesota, and they have Arizona, and then four games in a row against the Ducks, two games against, yeah, their schedule. Yeah, they have a lot of games against the Ducks still. So that's that right there is going to make it or break it for the Sharks.
As I said 2 weeks ago, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
They're getting smoked by the Ducks.
Yes.
But I think, Eric, you had some, you were on the bird doing bird things. You had some weird offensive stats that said they're kind of good at doing offense, but like, I don't understand where those come from because I just watched for this week.
Score three goals in three games.
Yes.
Yes.
Kyle, yeah, I was looking at,
I'm gesticulating.
Certainly. No. I'm not disagreeing with you. The last two games were pretty shift. Although I will say tonight's game was awful, but last night's game or 2 days ago, or whatever it was, didn't look so bad by 5-on-5. And granted, there's some score effects like in there but even their chances and scoring chances looked okay. And they pretty much had the pedal to the metal most of the game, even though they went down and they just were a little more unfortunate. Today was a disaster. So like, it didn't look great, but yesterday on aggregate, they did okay, I think. So since March 13th-ish about, and I just looked at like their 5-game rolling average. And March 13th is when things kind of start to really pick up. And for the month of March to April 14th, basically they're like top five in scoring chances for and expected goals for at 5-on-5 on offense per natural stat trick, and like unblocked shots for their top 10 or something. So they've been creating chances.
You skipped over my favorite part.
Huh?
Which four players?
And the four players really, this is why I'm a little upset with the lineup change. The four players leading the way are basically the second line. So Rudy is like on top of all like the relative metrics.
Fourth name.
And then Meyer and Hurdle and Eric Karlsson are basically the three or some subset of those guys shows up under both of those metrics. And then Kane and LeBanc have done well at creating scoring chances.
Who is the fourth name?
Eric Karlsson.
Yeah, suck it, everybody. Are you guys looking for the fastest and easiest way to bet on the Leafs flaming out of the playoffs in spectacular fashion for the 67th time in a row? Well, look no further because Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's long been over, so I don't know why we're talking about football, but NBA, hockey, full swing. College basketball just ended, so if you want to do that, you got to wait till next year. Golf, if you really want to do that. Baseball, who bets on baseball? There's way too many games. Tennis, I'm sure you can bet on tennis. Bet Online even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV, which is pretty cool if you watch any of that. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So if you really, really want to bet on the Leafs losing, which I'm going to, head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code Locked On to receive your sign-up bonus.
Get all the sports you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Anyway. You played bad tonight, but
everybody played bad.
Hold on, though.
Bullshit. You can't single out one person best player because that's what the
Eric Karlsson was not their best player tonight.
Why did he control more shots than anyone else on the team or more expected goals than almost anyone else?
He also scored a real goal, damn it.
He also scored a goal. I don't understand. He makes one bad play and everyone's like he had the worst night of his life.
I'm saying.
I didn't say he had the worst night. See, that's the thing. There's no gray.
How did he have a bad game if he led the team in all these metrics?
Yeah, but you've said it yourself before. Like we've talked before.
No, this is gospel.
We've talked before about like how, hey, Eric Karlsson looked great tonight. You're like, I don't know about with his stats. And like tonight he played bad. Like
yeah, but the first every period, single person played bad. He was on top of the shit heap.
I'm not saying that. Yes, everybody played bad. Eric Karlsson also played bad. So like, guys who I thought had a good, like I thought Ballsters had a great game. Like even though everybody else played bad, Ballsters I thought had a good game. He had some good chances and he was doing stuff in front of the net and he probably should have scored a goal. Burns and Ferraro, they were bad also. I thought Meyer looked pretty good for, you know, he was doing some stuff. I thought Hurdle looked pretty decent as well. Kane, like, he gutted it out, especially after his ankle. He got, took that slap.
You don't think that everybody had a bad game.
I
just rattled off like seven dudes that he said have a good game.
I didn't. I said they were okay. Like, they weren't. Again, it wasn't a great game from anybody. But if I had to pick a couple of guys, those guys were, I thought, had better games than Carlson. Just because Carlson had one bad game, that doesn't make him the worst player in the world.
But yes, it does. Because on the broadcast, I have to listen to, he makes one mistake and he turns it over for a goal. And it's like the world is falling apart. Brent Burns can fucking shit his pants and be naked on the ice. And everyone will be like, wow, it's God's gift to hockey. And
I'm just agree with you
about it. Like,
I agree with you. But
you're
that doesn't
not
mean...
because you're saying that he's bad. When he's
I'm not saying he's bad. I
said he was good.
You could have one bad game. That doesn't make him bad. Okay. You're allowed to have one bad game. I just thought he played, he didn't have his best game that he's had. That's okay. That doesn't make him a bad player. And like I said, we've had this conversation with Eric where we're like, Eric Carlson was, this was Eric Carlson's best game. And Eric's like, according to the numbers, he was bad. Like, it happened.
Okay. So then let's talk about Mario Ferraro, because that guy's been garbage for 3 weeks. How come that's never brought up on the broadcast?
Okay,
how come it's not brought up that Brent Burns was bad? How come it's not brought up that multiple guys are bad every single night?
Because they don't make
by
the 11.
Eye test and, but it doesn't matter if you make $11.5 million. You're all on the same team. Brent Burns,
I know.
Vlasic makes seven. Couture makes
seven. There's no rule that says criticism should be commensurate with your salary size.
But that's what happens when you sign that big contract. That's what happens. You get that's.
You have to be perfect.
You have to be. Yes. You guys know that. Come on.
But like, you don't
hold on.
Be perfect. This
the
is what
contract
I'm
is
when
is
everybody's
whose fault?
Bad.
Is it Eric Carlson's fault for signing Eric Carlson to a contract?
No, it's not. I'm not saying you guys know I love Eric Carlson. I'm not trying to. I just said he had a bad game. That's okay. You don't have to defend him.
But when
I'm saying I don't think
bad,
it was bad because
of the bad guys,
one turnover.
Does that not make you have like at least some sort of goodness if you're the best of everybody who's bad?
I don't know. Does it?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
because
you
won't hear that.
You can be...
like, everybody has a bad game, and what happens? They single out Eric Carlson for some dumb thing.
I understand that. I know Eric Carlson, but yes, they should spread the criticism around. They have Brent Burns bad. Like, what was he doing just lying on the ice on that like 2-on-1 thing? Like his
peak defensive performance. Maybe.
That was bad. Like, yeah, Mario Ferraro is just like. I don't know. He's whatever, like right now. I don't. And, you know, Knyazhov has made some bad plays too. And Shimmick, like.
You get Knyazhov's name out of your mouth.
Like, it's okay. Like, you got, like, it's okay criticize a player, but,
lying.
Like, I still think it's one
game.
Yeah,
no. It's fine. We're also, it's good. This is good that we're arguing. We got to give the listeners a little spice. It's not you. It's frustrating. All these things.
It's frustrating that he's the only person.
The only person.
I agree with you. It's frustrating that he's the only person that is getting criticism, and that's not fair to him. But again, that doesn't excuse him from getting criticism just because, you know.
I think it should.
Damn, you know who led the team with shots on goal at 5-on-5?
Probably Eric Carlson.
Eric Carlson.
Was it Eric Carlson?
Yeah. You know who led the team with.
So what are we doing here?
With shot attempts for at 5-on-5?
Probably Eric Carlson.
Eric Carlson.
Yeah.
He made one bad pass, and the bad pass wasn't even a bad pass. Literally, nobody was doing anything. They're just watching him dangle around with a puck and like what he was supposed to do. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. According to Bob, well, it is everywhere here and there, but according to Bob Joseph Kojanash, sorry if I don't get to say Kojanash.
Kojanash. I've been practicing it for 2 days. It's Kojanash.
Kojanash was just okay, which I mean is kind of shit that the coach throws the rookie goalie in his first start under the bus like that.
Yeah,
that's my personal opinion. I'm sure that he is just saying Bob seems like a pretty honest dude when it comes to like giving these kind of answers, and he's kind of semi-thoughtful about a lot of this stuff. But like maybe this one time you could have just laid off and said, "Yeah, he didn't get much help from the team," or "I thought he was okay," and hopefully he's better next time. But he said he was
whatever. Just okay. He said he was
just okay.
I mean, it's true. He was like okay, but also.
He was just okay, but there's a little bit of a nuance.
After the kind of that first penalty kill, he settled in. He definitely was a little shaky to begin the game, but then I thought he settled in.
He let in some softies.
Yeah, but I mean, again, it's his rookie. It's his first start. Like you're gonna be nervous and stuff. Like, you know, I'm, and that the team in front of him didn't help either. So,
They got what? So we keep talking about the team in front of them today. Eric, can you rattle off some?
Yeah,
some what team are the numbers? Fans?
The team
you know
in
that
front
Eric
of
Carlson
him
was a
that Eric Carlson led on bad skates. Team
on the at 5-on-5 according to Natural Stat Trick, adjusted for score and venue. So you got to get those three goals in there accounted for.
That I don't Sharks understand the venue took, part. Sorry, like what does it matter if you're playing?
No, no,
like,
no. So the venue is that shots are recorded manually in every stadium. Mm-hmm. Like there are scorekeepers that record the XY coordinate of every shot, and people have done studies and found that, like, for example, the Rangers arena, like, regularly put shots like for the Rangers closer to the goal kind of thing. And so over time, if you don't adjust for that, the Rangers are always going to have crazy expected goal stats on offense. It's probably not a huge impact on a game to game basis, but that's part of the reason they do it. I think that's the venue adjustment. I'm not sure if it also adjusts for like being home or away. Maybe the venue, maybe that sort of takes it into account anyway, because the home scorers are more likely to like boost the home team's thing. So
get that little home cooking.
I think it sort of does both of those things. So it's meaningful over, I think, probably a bigger sample size than a game, but like I can only adjust by both things or neither. So that's why we're getting score and venue adjusted things. 44% of the shots and 38%, oh my god, of expected goals and 42% of scoring chances. They just got worked. Just like absolutely destroyed. By the Ducks, dude. The Ducks have I think the worst goal differential in the league outside of Rasmus Dahlin.
Oh my god. Yeah. Poor Rasmus Dahlin. He has the lowest the worst plus minus. In our fantasy hockey league group chat, we discovered this today. I thought it was poor Rasmus. Let me see here. Hold on 1 second. The differential on the old Duke is the Canards is minus 37. No, they're not the worst.
Ooh, Buffalo's the worst.
Detroit's minus 41.
Ooh, I like it.
Ottawa's minus 46 and Buffalo's minus 47.
Wow. Well,
scoring 8 goals against the Sharks. That'll help. Yeah, plus
you know
7
right
there.
You know who's surprisingly good? The Rangers are plus 24.
Is that home venue cooking?
Yeah, apparently.
Fake goals.
We'll just credit this one and this one.
And this one, why not? Oh, it's amazing.
So I have a feeling that certain guys, so the third line, the Leonard Gambrell Donato line.
They got broken.
Full
benched
and full
got benched.
Caved in.
Oh yeah.
But did anybody else stand out to be like get benched or anything tonight?
No, those three got benched and everyone else.
I was fearing for Timo because he failed to clear and then took that penalty.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no.
No, I think he played quite a lot though. He's kind of one of the guys that the coaches lean on when they need to score a lot of goals.
Well, I would hope so. I just want them to lean on him for everything.
Yeah, I would hope so too, but you never know. You never know. Let's see. No, Timo and Meyer led the way in forward shifts at 5-on-5. And part of that was because Kane got hurt and missed the rest of the game, right?
No, he only missed two minutes.
He got hurt at the end of the first.
He didn't come out for the start of the second. And then
he started on the power play.
Yeah.
No shit.
He literally was immobile. He was in the Brent Burns spot and just couldn't move.
And then slowly worked his ankle
into like life. But he played the rest of the game. He only missed like two minutes.
No, he played 13 minutes. So yeah. Even after I said that, I was like, wait a second, that can't be true.
Yeah, he played 22 minutes and 22 seconds, all sits.
That's crazy. A little bit low for him.
I was third. No, it was fourth.
I turned the FIFA on a little
low
game.
For Kane. Yeah.
Hurdle and Meyer led the way, which is dope. And then Couture after them. Burns, Carlson, Ferraro were at the top, obviously. LeBanc and Marlowe had the same amount. But yeah, Donato and Leonard each had 9 shifts at 5-on-5 and played about 6 minutes and a quarter.
Leonard played 6:47 all situations, which was the lowest on the team. Nick Balazs was next at 7:38.
You know who got quite a little bit of a bump in shifts? Noah Gregor. Hello, Noah.
The Ark.
My speedy sharpshooter. I love it. I love it.
JD, what did you say about Noah Gregor?
My favorite thing is putting Noah Gregor, who's arguably the fastest guy on the team. Like, I think just straight line, you know, skating is probably the fastest guy on the team, with Hendemark, who's probably the slowest guy on the team. And then Marlowe, who's the old man.
Yeah.
It's a funny line. I don't know why.
It's amazing. It's an amazing line. Someone some this got retweeted into my thread. It's like some, I can't even read the Twitter handle. Anytime you can put 632-year-old Patty Marleau in a power play unit, you just got to do it.
Hello, people of the Milky Way. RockAuto.com is a family business, which you probably already knew, and they're serving auto part customers online for 20 years. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. But RockAuto.com does that for you online. So if you go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers, they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet, which is funny because I actually need a new driver's carpet because my foot wore a spot where I rest my heel on the thing. Very strange, but I guess I can get this at Rock Auto. And whether it's for your classic or daily driver, I'm a daily driver. I have a Honda. It's great, but I'm getting a BMW next year. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com.
Be a waiver wire winner with the daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Cullen gives you tips, insights, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, man. I mean,
I'm like, yeah. You know, there's a degree of Shang and I were talking yesterday, and like, you know, you want your younger players to come out and earn spots. You don't want to just give it to them. Yep. And so fine, if some of these younger guys haven't earned the power play time, whatever. But also, like, there's got to be, like, I don't know, double shift someone or something, or just put four guys out there, for Christ's sake. There's got to be someone
so
better
many than other Patrick Marleau. Okay. Also, yeah. I would like to point out that there is some no-go options on the power play. Classic.
Yes.
Mario Ferraro.
Right.
Probably Knyazhov. Yeah. He's been playing power play two time a little bit
too. Honestly, no. Try Knyazhov out there. Let's see what happens.
Fuck yeah. Forwards, I would say probably not Marleau. Handemark.
No.
Gambrell.
Gambrell, no.
But like, you have a Rudy. You have Kane, Couture, LeBanc, Timo, Hurdle, Rudy. You have your top six. If you want to get John Leonard on there because he's a sharpshooter, great. If you want to get Donato on there, that's eight guys. I just listed eight guys. Or
Gregor can shoot. Put him at one of the circles.
That's nine.
Yeah. Let's see what happens. But
like, Patrick Marleau can shoot.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys out there. I don't know. Yeah. See what Nick Meloche can do. Who gives a shit?
Could
Cornash run point?
it's like at the end of a soccer game when the goalie shows up in the 18-yard box for the header.
Oh, that's amazing. I wish I could do that.
When I played goalie, I used to do that all the time. It was great.
True, teammates loved it.
This is 3 minutes into the game.
No, we would do it like right at the end of the first half or right at the end of the second half. Six.
I've done that before too. Yeah, then you just sprint back if it goes back the other way.
Yeah, you really gotta be careful.
You really gotta get on your horse. Yeah. The shoot was ugly. There are some questions about like why Marleau's in the power play. Why have they split up the one line that had been consistently good for the last like five games?
Well, I don't mind splitting up the one line that's been
We've talked about that. We want that.
No. I mean the Rudy Meyer Hurdle line.
I don't know why they switched Rudy and LeBanc. Just leave Rudy there.
LeBanc down and like put Gregor up there. See what he does.
Or Donato.
Donato's
Leonard. Not even up there. Or Leonard.
Right. Leonard. Something. But like, I'm glad they split up the first line. I don't know why they split up the second line.
Yeah, because Rudy, our whole thesis on the podcast is that we want to see, because it's a lost season, we want to see the young kids get opportunities to play in situations where they'll become valuable for future and see what they have. So by swapping Rudy and LeBanc, you're taking Rudy out of a situation where he's already doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and LeBanc,
you got to play with Kane and Couture.
Yeah,
that's not what we wanted. We wanted the top line to switch with the third line and jumble those up because Rudy's already the jumble into the Hurdle Meyer.
Rudy's a dude. Yeah, we don't need to see, Rudy is a dude. See more from Rudy. We know.
Dudes rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
just dude being a
he's
dude.
A witch. He's a witch.
Yeah, he's a
dude
he
witch. He's a dude
witch.
We
threw him off the cliff. He conjured a broom and was like, fuck y'all, I'm out of here.
He flew.
Remember when you said that he wasn't going to be very good because Ottawa waved him? Yeah.
I didn't say that. Hold on a second.
No, yes.
No, we can.
Yeah,
we can
time to pile on Eric.
We can find my. This is like when like news stations like cut politicians' speeches to make it sound like they said something totally different. I didn't say he was definitely going to be bad. I said that
100% exciting. He's going to be bad.
Yeah, I said there's 100% probability that Rudy sucks because Otto is bad. I said it's exciting that they claimed him, but also we should temper our expectations because he did, after all, just get waived by a bad team. And so there's a chance that maybe he is just not NHL material. You said that Otto is stupid, and that's probably not likely to be the case.
I'm not flexing on the Zoom.
I need to it's clarify full Eric Carlson my assertion at the time was perfectly logical and reasonable. And like, sure, yours ended up
being right. Also was mine.
Yeah, no,
Ottawa? Yeah,
you ended up being right, but like I didn't say what you said. I said that's all.
Have you seen any changes for the weekend versus Minnesota?
Yeah, the whole fourth line is going to be no. Marlowe will be there. How many games do you think Marlowe plays past his record? Do you think he just finishes the season playing every game?
Yeah,
they just want to pad that stat for him.
Well, because he's also 6 games away from 900 or something like that. In a row, straight,
yeah,
which is pretty sweet. The can games you imagine played,
if they brought him games, back next year to like get more records,
please.
So the games played record is actually insane. Do you guys know about the games played in a row record, not the Gordie Howe record?
No, is he? Okay. Does he have that too?
So
no, it's
no, God no. So the Iron Man streak in the NHL is held by Doug Jarvis. Iron Man NHL streak. I want to get the exact number. So Doug Jarvis was a guy.
Thank you.
I just want to get it. Yeah, so Doug Jarvis. He played for the Montreal Canadiens the whole time, and then he switched. Well, not the whole time. He played them for them like 7 years. Then he played 4 years for the Capitals, then 3 years for the Hartford Whalers. Right. So Doug Jarvis, he played center, just a guy. He played 964 games in a row. It was literally from his first game to his last game. He didn't miss a single game in his entire career.
That's insane. Yeah,
literally. So in his 915th NHL game, he broke Gary Unger's record and then added on
another 50 more. Yeah,
he literally. So he debuted on October 8th, 1975. And
where were you?
Retired. I was a twinkle in my dad's like fucking ball sack. Yeah. and then he retired on October 10th, 1987. So it was a 12-year career, but he didn't miss a single game. He played literally every single game. If you go to his like
that's Ricky crazy
or Hockey Reference, it's. It goes 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80. Then there was like a weird lockout or something happened, 25 and then 57, 80, and then whatever. Yeah. Didn't miss
it. Crazy. Anyway. Yeah. That would take the other crazy thing is if Marlowe, like if he didn't lose a COVID season and full lockout season and, you know, another half a season from a lockout, he probably would have passed. He probably would have passed that. Yeah.
Well, the little bugaboo about the whole games played record is that Gordie Howe also played 417 WHL games.
Yeah.
Just casually.
just off. Whatever. Yeah.
And no big deal. It's nothing. So yeah, even though he's played like 17, whatever, Gordie was over 2100, but it's gonna be cool to see him do it.
Yeah, Monday.
I mean, I'm not Monday. Mad. I don't know, asset man. Are you mad that they didn't get an asset?
Me? What do you mean? No, they got for whom? They got plenty of assets.
For Marlowe.
For Marlowe.
Oh, no, it takes two to tango. I don't know why anyone would want him.
Yeah.
Leadership.
For sure. Anyway. If Doug got offered a seventh and he was like, no, I absolutely refuse to take anything for Patrick Marlowe. Sure.
I wouldn't want a seventh.
Yeah,
so, I'd rather just see him do the record.
I do want him to acquire all 31 seventh round picks.
So Eric did this in NHL 21. He literally sent me a screenshot where he traded back so many times that he required. Like, I think you traded a first for like seven, like a second and a fourth, and then you traded a second.
It's really hard to trade back, but you can basically trade like any shitty player in your team for a seventh round pick. And so I just traded all the prospects. It didn't seem like they were going to turn in anything for seventh round picks until I had all 31 of them or 32 because I was an expansion team.
Good job.
I have no idea if any of them became. And the funny thing too, I was like sitting there. This is like 4 hours later. My eyes are glazed over, like bloodshot. It's like 2 a.m. Like my wife has been asleep forever, and I'm like, must study the potential players left to make like the exact right pick. And like halfway through the round, I was just like, just like sim the fucking draft. Like, I gotta go to bed. And I have no
idea. What have I done with my life?
Yeah, I have no idea if it became that team or those players or if any of them like became stars or anything.
It's like when Marge wakes up and Homer sitting in front of a rapper, she's like, did you stay up all night eating American cheese? and Homer's like, I think I'm blind. Okay, wait, the actual scene is 64 slices of American cheese, and he eats them individually, and then Marge walks in. Homer, did you stay up all night eating cheese? I think I'm blind. That was you. So if you want to get at us with Simpsons memes, go right ahead. We're at Locked On Sharks on the bird. If you would like to email us Family Guy memes, do so at lockedonsharks@gmail.com. If you'd like to go to Facebook and Instagram and see JD's pretty pictures and stuff, you can do that because he mans the controls. I don't know. It's late at Facebook and Instagram. If you'd like to ask Eric about prospects in the seventh round or possibly Alex Young, you can do that at foulball15. And if you would like to ask JD about infectious diseases, you can do that at myfryhole.
If you want to get at Kyle about his favorite quotes from Superbad, you can find him at Kyle Demetrius.
Yeah, fuck me, right? See ya.